to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, today we read the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 24, and we read the facts of the resurrection of Jesus. When the women came to the tomb early in the morning on the first day of the week, they found that the body of Jesus was not there. The stone was rolled away from the tomb. And while they puzzled about this in their minds, two men in shining apparel stood by them. And these men began to speak. They are the angels of God who announced the resurrection of Jesus, the crucified, from the dead. And so they say, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And then, after they announce that the Lord Jesus is risen again from the dead, they bid the women to remember. They said, "Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And the Bible tells us, and they remembered his words. That is, as they were reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus, instead of being filled with perplexity, they were now filled with faith, filled with assurance that as he had said on numerous occasions, so it has taken place. God's word ever proves to be true. What he says, he brings to pass, to the great joy of these women who came to the tomb not expecting a sunrise service for Easter Sunday, but they came expecting to mourn and to make the final preparations for Jesus' final burial. They were not expecting joy and hallelujah. They were expecting sorrow and, "Lord, have mercy upon us." And the word of God was given to them, assuring them that Christ is not among the dead. He is among the living. He is the living one, and he is risen from the dead. So in their new Easter faith, they go quickly and they report to the disciples what they had seen and what they had been told. And the Bible tells us very honestly that their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So the very men who are called to publicly preach the word of God, when they hear the testimony of the word of God, they do not do what later they will expect others to do. This reminds us that it's not really all about us, because we, at our best, are tainted with sin. But it is all about Jesus, the holy and righteous Son of God, who gave himself up for us and who rose again as he had said. Now, please pay attention to the fact that in this message of the angels, as they remind the women of Jesus' words, several things are joined together that we must not separate. And that is that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. This must happen. It is the plan of God. It is the will, the hand, and counsel of God that the Messiah give his life for the sins of the world, and on the third day rise again, that the Messiah of Israel will not end in death, but that though he passes into death, though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he fears no evil. At his dying words, "It is finished. It is accomplished." The will of God for the reconciliation of the world is accomplished in Jesus Christ. And so his death and his resurrection preach a similar message to us. The death of Christ is all about his suffering and payment for our sins. And the resurrection of Christ is God's assurance to us and to everyone that Jesus, who was put to death as a criminal, is vindicated in the eyes of God. That Jesus, who offered himself up as a ransom for our sins, is vindicated in that offering and that giving. That his promise to give everlasting life to those who believe in him is vindicated. That his claim to be the Son of God and the teacher of the truth of God is vindicated, because he who died and was buried is risen again from the dead. All right, now, we need to look at a couple of other passages of Scripture in order to fully understand what Easter Sunday is all about. And so, first thing is this. The resurrection vindicates Jesus' claim to be the Son of God. And in the book of Romans, chapter 1, St. Paul says this. He says, "Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." And so you see here, what Paul is saying is that the resurrection is God's declaration to the world that Jesus Christ, born of the seed of David, is the Son of God in power. Not only is he the Son of God, but he is now the risen, glorified, all-powerful, seated at the right hand of God, Son of God. And so we are encouraged in our faith in the Son of God by the resurrection, which vindicates and declares to us Jesus is who he said he is. Now, the second thing that gives us particular comfort here is that the resurrection also vindicates Jesus' teaching. All right? Sometimes when we have read through the Gospels and Jesus in his teaching makes fantastic claims about who he is, what he is able to do, the nature of salvation, the nature of the kingdom of grace and glory, and all of these things are so much different from what was being told. The poor disciples, you know, I often feel sorry for the disciples in this way, that they had been grounded and rooted in the doctrine of the synagogue for their whole life. And along comes Jesus, and he begins to teach things that the synagogue was not teaching, to emphasize things that the synagogue was not emphasizing. And to them, it sounded very different. And Jesus, with a kind of a wink in his eye, says to them, get used to different. All right? Get used to different. So his teaching is vindicated by the resurrection. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou the king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. All right, so he has come into the world to bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth, that is everyone who has saving faith in Christ, all right, hears my voice. And this claim of Jesus to be the bearer of truth, whom those who are of the truth listen to, is vindicated by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Even little seemingly incidental things that Jesus said are vindicated by his resurrection. For example, in the early chapters of St. John, Jesus said to the Jews, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And when he said that, everybody got offended. That saying lasted all throughout his public ministry, and even at his trial, there were people who tried to catch him in those words and find a reason to condemn him with these words. Jesus simply said it. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And he did exactly that. When they destroyed the temple of his body, in 3 days he raised it up again. All right. The third thing that we want to focus on today is that Jesus gave himself as a ransom and a sacrifice for the sin of the world. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead vindicates his claim to have paid the full penalty for all of our sins. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, St. Paul says this, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What a wonderful, succinct statement. It's referring to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it says here that we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. His death paid fully for our sins. We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and much more being reconciled. Now that we are reconciled and God is our friend, is that just the end of it? No. We shall be saved by his life, because he lives, we shall live also. St. Paul is bold enough in 1 Corinthians 15 to say, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. This is how important the resurrection is to the Christian faith. The Christian faith testifies that Jesus is risen from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the Christian faith is a false religion. But if he rose from the dead, as Scripture testifies, and as the apostolic witness testifies, if he is indeed risen from the dead, we are no longer lost. We are no longer in our sins. Because John the Baptist said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And then the resurrection of Jesus Christ happened after he was crucified, dead, and buried. And the resurrection vindicates the words of John the Baptist that Jesus is the Lamb of God and that our sins are taken away. St. John, later in his life, said these words. He says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." These are wonderful words. Jesus Christ is the propitiation. He has turned God's wrath because of our sins away from us. He has paid for them, redeemed us, and ransomed us. And not only us, but the whole world as well. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. What a wonderful vindication of Christ's offering of himself up to God on our behalf we have in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The last thing I want to focus on this morning is that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead vindicates Jesus' promise to give eternal life to everyone who believes in him. All right? On numerous occasions, the Lord Jesus promised eternal life to whoever believes in him. In John 14, Jesus said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." You see, when we see the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, we are also looking at our resurrection from the dead. Because he lives, we shall live also. In John chapter 11, to the sister of Lazarus, who is about to be raised from the dead, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." You see this wonderful promise that he is the resurrection and the life, and that those who believe in him have everlasting life. This is vindicated by Christ's resurrection from the dead. Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand." And also finally in 1 Corinthians 15, St. Paul says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. So here we see that Jesus' manifold promises to give eternal life to whoever believes in him is vindicated by his resurrection from the dead. So, in our Gospels, especially here today in Luke 24, we read of the facts of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. But these facts that he is risen from the dead speak to the truth of his claim to be God's only Son, of his claim to teach the pure Word of God and the true doctrine of God, his sacrifice on the cross was a once for all atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world, and his promise to give eternal life to everyone who believes in him are all wrapped up in the fact that he who was crucified, dead, and buried, on the third day, he rose again from the dead, just as he said he would, and as the scriptures of the Old Testament testify that he would. And so we are given an opportunity to rejoice in what God has accomplished in Christ for us, and to know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.